You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. 216-578-0850. Your thoughts on the Browns and the Bucks? The final time you're going to see many of the starters on this team, including quarterback Josh McCown, before the season opener against the Jets. Let's go to Ellis in Orlando to lead us off. What's up, Ellis?
It's two games in a row. How you guys doing? You guys good?
Good. We're good. How you doing, man?
Okay, I was fortunate to catch two games in a row. I was at the Buffalo game in Cleveland. And, of course, with me living here in Orlando, I went to Tampa. And let me tell you, I feel so much better after seeing that game that we played. First of all, our defense played great. And if they play like that all year, I like our chances. I was really, though, impressed on how McNown had those two long drives. And just like you guys, my biggest concern, I guess, is us going deep. And I'm sure as the season progresses, we'll figure that out. But I guarantee you this. The Browns are not going to be an easy mark on this schedule this year, but I thought was even more impressive to see the amount of Browns fans that were in Tampa.
Yeah, a ton.
Touchdown got turned over. You'd thought we were in Cleveland as loud as they were cheering. So go Browns.
Go Browns.
Go Browns. I think you're right. The crowd down there was loud. There were a lot of Browns fans in Tampa, maybe some Snowbirds who,
For sure.
It's got a nice connection down there, and not that they needed to be down in Tampa this time of year, but there were a lot of Browns fans, and I, in fact, remarked in the fourth quarter to Travis Coons. I was saying it reminded me of the Thursday night game when the Browns annihilated the Bengals
yes,
in Cincinnati. All the crowd cleared out, and it was just Browns fans around the very lower part of the lower bowl, and the rest of the stadium was empty. And that's how it was at the end of that Tampa Bay and Browns game as well. By the way, the Browns have to get their roster down to 75 by tomorrow afternoon. They've already made 6 moves today, and I am told that more could be forthcoming this afternoon after practice. As of now, the team has made 2 waves. Tight end Anthony Izakun, who was here for not very long, he is gone, as is local product Shane Wynn, the wide receiver who had that touchdown catch from Johnny Manziel against Buffalo in week 2 of the preseason. His time with the Browns is over. The contracts have been terminated of 4 veterans: linebacker Everett Brown, linebacker Moise Fokou, running back Jalen Parmalee, and defensive back Aaron Ross.
So any of those surprises to you?
None of them are surprises. I thought Wynn would go at the 75, because at some point you just can't have all these wide receivers on your roster. And I think Darius Jennings and Lenz are ahead of them at the bottom of the roster.
Right.
And so that's why that move was made there. So they're down to 84. They still have 9 cuts to go to get to 75. I wonder if there will be any surprises in there. If there was somebody that was going to be a big name that they were going to cut, if they cut him now.
Kind of like Fred Jackson.
Kind of like the Bills did with Fred Jackson, to give them more opportunity to go latch on somewhere else. I do expect that the Browns will release one of the 2 kickers before 75. I think that they, at this point, with all the injuries they have, they don't need to have 2 kickers on the roster. So those are the first 6 moves. More of those to come. Probably the most surprising roster move around the NFL was the release of Fred Jackson from the Bills, as you talked about. Would you want Fred Jackson to come here if the Browns decided they wanted another running back?
Wow. I don't think so. Because if Fred Jackson comes here, I believe he would have to come here to start. And I just don't know if that's the case. I don't know if this would be a entertaining kind of place for Fred Jackson to land because of what he'd be up against with 2 young guys, a gentleman in Terrence West. They moved up in the draft to get an undrafted free agent in Isaiah Crowell that has done a lot of good here in the last year and a quarter. And I just feel like it would not be good for the personalities in that room. We talked about the bumping of the heads between Terrence West and Ben Tate last year. And I think that, both of these guys have stepped up after being called out by Wilbert Montgomery. And I would think it would just cause a little bit of a break in the camaraderie in that room. Have you bring in a veteran like Fred Jackson having, 6 1,000-yard careers? He'd have to project himself as a starter.
I don't know if he would have. I mean, he's 34 at this point. He still has some juice left. Ran 5 times for 48 yards and a touchdown in his last preseason game. he's the kind of guy, if they wanted to bring in a veteran, I would like. Number one, he knows Pat from, they were in Buffalo together for the year. He is a great locker room guy. Everything about him is just what a wonderful guy and teammate he is, locker room. Maybe he could help these young running backs as another coach in the room alongside Wilbert Montgomery. He's very good in pass protection and can help on third downs. So to me,
vet minimum would be about $1 million, right?
I would only do it with him if they were for sure going to add somebody. Like, I would rather, much rather have Fred Jackson than Ray Rice. I bet, though,
agree.
Fred Jackson is going to end up in New England.
Okay. And that's probably what I would think. You think yeah. Because of the connection there in the AFC East, and he'll probably be a baller there for New England as well.
Yeah, the other big name that was released, probably Tim Jennings, the cornerback
from
Chicago. I bet he ends up in Tampa Bay, back with Lovie Smith. Loves those cover two corners.
Or Carolina.
Could
with,
be a spot.
With Ron Rivera.
Yep. Yep.
Anybody with connection to cover two.
Anybody so plays cover two. Yeah.
Like Charles Tillman. Charles Tillman's in Carolina right now.
Yeah.
Followed Ron Rivera.
They could reunite,
well.
And yes. It could feel so good. All right, let's go to Bodie in Youngstown. Bodie, welcome to the show.
What's going on, fellas?
Not good, too, man. Is this Bodie on the corner?
Yeah, what's up?
Not too much, man. Glad you called in. All one of our good Twitter followers.
Right. And Matt, I saw you with the fresh haircut yesterday, you know, with the little J on the front.
You dig it?
Hey, I like it, man.
Appreciate it, man.
The fresh helmet.
I needed to get clean. It's time to get down to business.
Exactly. But I was calling because earlier you guys was talking about the passing game and maybe not showing everything. And I feel like kind of like the run game, too. DeFilippo said he was going to run some zone blocking. But I see a lot of power run game. I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that.
So the run game for the Browns here is going to be mostly zone. They will have some power elements in there. I think we're going to get a better sense of it, you know, in the season when you get a full game's worth of work, because part of it is with an offensive line. It's feeling out a defensive line, wearing it down. I still have my concerns about this ground game. And for right now, if you told me that the Browns are going to come out and they're going to throw it three times every time they have first down, or if they're going to run it three times, I would be much more inclined to throw the football. And that's a scary thing to me, right? We're not built per se to be a passing football team, but we are right now.
You are. You're absolutely right. And you know, prior to Dog Pound Report, you know, you had your tablet out. We were going through the stats, and you look at, we saw some of those chunk runs again. You got to love that. What, you know, the Isaiah Crowell run. You got to love the Terrence West run. Was like you and I could have, you know, ran through that next to each other. It was a gaping hole. But then when you negate those chunk runs and you look at the averages, you're at like 7 carries for 9 yards, you know, 6 carries for 10 yards, and you get under a 2-yard average.
Too many like 0 and 1 runs,
exactly,
and negative runs.
Exactly. And you can't live and die by that. You know, you got to have, you know, the 3 yards in a cloud of dust. You know, 4 would be huge, you know, moving forward. Where, you know, I just think if you're really grinding, and that's the one thing that, you know, can be said about this offensive line, while they're very skilled and they're all great and collectively play very well, but Tonio is probably the only one with the mentality that could possibly be a grinder.
Yep.
So to go back to, you know, Bodie's comment, it's he'd probably be the only one this team would be comfortable pulling, which means it'd have to be either a power run to the right, you know, but that means Schwartz and Mack have to get a huge push on that nose tackle.
Yep.
Mack and Greco have to get a huge push on the nose. Schwartz is in a one-on-one, and Batonio's pulling around behind him. Or, you know, it's a down block by Thomas and Batonio pulling outside, and it's a wide run left. You know, because other than that, I'm not comfortable with Greco pulling. I'm not comfortable with Schwartz getting out in front of anybody in space yet. So they need to collectively just grind it out and get the push in this zone run scheme. We're moving together, which is great as a unit, but now we need to get that push going.
And to just talk about it, because we've talked every single game, Isaiah Crowell, 27 yards on the day, 16 after contact. So on his 8 carries, he actually got more than a yard down the field before he took contact on average, which is the best number for him this preseason. Terrence West, 7 carries, 26 yards, 21 after contact. So he, again, didn't get even a yard down the field before taking contact on average in this game. They've got to do a better job. That number needs to be over 2 yards consistently.
Yes.
And if it is, then the Browns are going to be averaging 4, 4.5. Maybe even 5 yards a carry, and then all of a sudden this offense will be humming, because when you can run like that, everything you do passing the football becomes more effective.
It all goes hand in hand. That's why, you know, why was Tony Romo so great? You know, why was Dez Bryant such a threat? Because you can
don't tell Gibbs he is good.
Right. Well, but I meant when you can show that football,
sure,
you know, And you look at
freeze the linebackers.
You freeze the linebackers. You freeze the safeties. It allows your great players, the fastest players on the field, those wide receivers, to get that one step of separation and allow the ball to be delivered, you know, on time. It's the difference. It's the difference in the world.
It makes all the difference in the world. When we come back, we're going to take more of your phone calls because you guys are blowing them up. 216-578-0850. We also will hear from the head coach, Mike Pettine, as we roll on here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.